Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the life and works of the Muslim Shiite personalities and ulama all across the world. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers for today's discussion, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding scholars of the 14th century Hijra, Muhammad Taghi Shirazi, also known as Mirzai Dovom or Mirzai Kuchak. He was the leader of the independence political movement of Iraq against the supremacy of Britain. We can say most of his fatawa and fatwas were issued against the Britain and the foreign powers' presence in Iraq. He was a very much committed scholar and alim, not limiting himself only to Islamic courses or the Islamic seminaries. Politically and socio-culturally, he was very much active. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Muhammad Taghi Shirazi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Muhammad Taghi Shirazi was known as Mirza, second Mirza, or Mirza Kuchik, and obviously he was in Iraq. About his initial life, it is said that Mirza Muhammad Taghi Shirazi was in Karbala, and there he started his educational life. And after that, he went to Samarra, where he has taken some lessons from the great Mirza, who was famous for his tobacco.
Yes, Mirza Hassan Shirazi.
Mirza Hassan Shirazi, who was famous about his fatwa of tobacco. Over there, obviously, he lived there, and he made many students. And obviously, his life was full of, we can say, like different activities, where he was involved with the immigrants who went to the Karbala. He was also involved with the people, the different tribes who were obviously ready for resistance. And this made his, we can say like, you know, it made him a famous and popular personality. When we talk about his students, we can see like Agha Bozorg Tehrani, one of the great scholars, Abdul Karim Hayri, who basically based or who founded the, who put the foundation of Hawza al-Miyaqom after Najaf. These are from his students. We have Muhammad Jawad Balaghi Najafi from his students who wrote Allah al-Rahman. And there are many, many other scholars, Muhammad Ali Shah Abadi, Ayatollah Marashi Najafi, who is known because of his library, he's buried in Qom. These are from his students. So he was at the time when obviously the England, it tried to invade the Iraq, and obviously these were the scholars of that time who resist against such invasion.
That's all right. We know that. That's all right. After the demise of Mirza Muhammad Hassan Shirazi and also Akhund Khorasani, the Marja'iyat al-Am, or the general Marja'iyah, or custodianship of the Islamic seminaries, was on the shoulders of some ulama like Sheikh al-Sharia Isfahani, Sheikh Mahdi Khalisi, Sayyid Kazemi Yazdi, and also Muhammad Taghi Shirazi. Muhammad Taghi Shirazi, even during his Marja'iyah, felt very much responsible in order to defend the borders of Islam, especially in Iraq and in Iran. against the foreign powers, the British powers and the Russian powers. Sheikh Rouhani, I think this aspect of his life might be very much interesting, especially for those who do not think that Islam or Shia Islam might be a political one, because after the Islamic Revolution of Iran take place, most of the people think that, okay, Ayatollah Khomeini was the first one who, for example, founded this system, but it has a rich legacy, isn't it?
Yes, of course. As you know, one of the main principles of Islam is jihad.
Yes.
Struggling in the way of Allah to protect and defend Muslims against the enemy's attack. So that's why, based on this principle, you see that Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Shirazi in 1329 of Qamari, he actually, when the Russian forces attacked the north part of Iran, he actually issued a fatwa calling upon the people to defend themselves against the Russian attack.
Yes.
It was a very famous fatwa that was issued by him in that time. And also at the beginning of the First World War, when the coalition forces started fighting in war against, waged a war against Uthmanid Empire. And so when they attacked the Uthmanid areas, then when they came to the Fao, which is a city, I think, in Iraq.
Yes.
When they actually occupied this area, Fao, I mean, in Iraq.
Yes.
Then Mirza Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, at that time he was in Samarra, he issued a fatwa and invited the tribes and Ashair of Muslimin to start fighting against British army in that area to defend their land and to actually protect their people against the Britishers.
That's
so
right.
These were the two very famous fatwa which were issued by this alim or this Shiite scholar. It shows that how much political is the position or status of Marja'iyya in the Shiite ideology or in the Shiite system of thought, because you see, whenever you are attacked by, or Muslims are attacked by the enemies, it is the responsibility of a marja'i taqlid, of the religious leader, to defend the people, to issue the fatwa. And also, he, in one of these, let's say, battlefields, he sent his own son.
Yes.
Yeah, to defend the people,
yes.
And he accompanied him. So that's why supported him.
Muhammad Reza, his son.
Yes,
Muhammad
of course.
Reza Shirazi,
it shows that, yes, this is one of the main responsibilities of marja'i taqlid to even wage war against the enemy's attack when it is needed. Yeah, that's it.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Founding of Jamaat al-Islamiyah or Jamiat al-Islami, Islamic Society, we can call it, was one of the outstanding achievements of this outstanding man, writing letters to different leaders of Muslim lands and also United States of America in defense of the Islamic lands, okay? According to so many documents, he was very much concerned with rulership of the Muslims over Muslims and not the non-Muslims, for example, Britain. And we know that at that time, Britain, through his spies in Iran and the embassies, wanted to rule Islamic lands, especially through, for example, some economic contracts in Iran and some monopolizing, for example, some lands in Iraq. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, in one of the most outstanding fatwas, we read that no Muslim has the right to select a non-Muslim as his ruler in the Muslim lands. This is an important fatwa of him. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of his life.
Well, obviously, when we look at his political life, we can find this aspect in his letters which he wrote, the political letters. For example, like he wrote a letter to Sharif Hussein, who was the ruler of Hijaz at that time. And in that, he wanted him to support the society, the Islamic society, the Islamic society of the Iraq, so that because they're raising against or they're having resistance against the non-Muslims. On the other hand, he wrote letter to the Amir Faisal, who was in Syria, in Damascus. And he asked him to convey the message of Sheikh and his supporters. Why? Because the Damascus had the access to the international media and they were free. For example, if that, at that time it was radio and other source of means of the media, so they had open access to it. And he asked them, he requested them to convey our message to the world so that the world knows that the Iraqi people, they don't want the invasion of the Britons over them. Other than that, we can see like with Sheikh Sharia Isfahani, he wrote a letter to the USA, to the Americans, yes, the president of America, that all the people of Iraq, they want a new government, which should be independent, number one. Number two, an Islamic independent state. Why? Because the Muslims are living here. And number two, they want to choose someone as a king, a Muslim king, who is bound to the Islamic rules and not someone who is a non-Muslim. They are not allowed to rule over the Muslims. So we can see from these letters that he was so concerned about it, and this idea that the Muslims can only rule the Muslims. This is true. Obviously, we know that even the Quranic teachings, the Islamic teachings is all about that. The reason is that when there is a ruler who is bound to the Islamic rules, Islamic laws, he, according to the Quran, must be a just person. Obviously, he look after the rituals of the Muslims. And obviously, there is no contradiction. For example, you know, we have people right now living in the West.
Yes.
Right? And they are the Muslims. They are free to, you know, observe or to practice their Islam. But the point is the environment in which they are.
Yes, yes.
That is not an Islamic environment. You know, for example, there is non-mahram. There is half-naked people. So a person who wants to observe Islam, who wants to practice Islam, where Islam says that the woman should cover herself, now there is a hurdle for this person to do that. Similarly, for the women, obviously, when they go to the work, there is a special dress code they cannot. So these are the reasons that we can see today, those who do not understand this, that what will happen if a non-Muslim ruler will rule a Muslim land? The reason is that a non-Muslim ruler will bring alcohol into the Muslim land. The non-Muslim ruler will bring the other things that contradicts with the Islamic laws. So when he is not bound to them, the people, you know, we have the hadith, "An-nasu ala dini muluki." The people are upon the religion of their kings.
That's right.
When the rulership is in the hands of a non-Muslim, then obviously there is a big chance of Muslims becoming non-Muslim.
That's right. So many letters were sent from the head of the tribes, because Iraq at that time was a tribal country, that, for example, the British and the Russian powers are attacking them and want them to yield to the orders of the British. What should we do? And Mirza, in his outstanding fatwa, has said that defending your rights and defending your movement, defending your people and your country is, we can't say, an obligation for you. And if you yield up to their needs, to their orders, you are doing a haram action. And that's why, for example, the British powers on that time and the Britain on that time could not occupy so many parts of Iraq, that land. He said that, "I sacrifice everything. I sacrifice my son, my companions, my comrades. I am ready to sacrifice my own life to defend Islam." On that time, all in all, we could see that the Hausa was not only active in the, for example, Islamic seminaries of Najaf and Karbala and Samarra, you know, the students and the Islamic seminaries were really much active and felt responsible to, about the affairs of the community. Okay, what other details, Sheikh Rouhani, about his political life?
Yes, one of the other things that is interesting in his life is that he tried to manage or to rule over the city of Karbala. Mm-hmm. And also he appointed some people to manage the affairs of the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And to help the people of Karbala. And he himself was observing as an observer on all those things that were done by some of the people who were appointed by him in the city of Karbala. It was also one of the interesting points in his life that is also a kind of social activities of this marja-i-taqlid at that time.
That's right. We know that Karbala was freed from the hands, we can say by the hands of the Mujahids on that time, and so many outstanding ulama like Sayyid Abul Ghassim Kashani, Sayyid Hussain Qazvini, Sayyid Habaduddin Shahristani were active over there in the city of Karbala. That's right. He passed away in a mysterious way on Zilhijja 1338. According to some documents, he was poisoned by the Britishers. It is not something far away from the thoughts because he was against the Britishers. Sheikh Sharia Isfahani did the burial pray and he was buried in the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And most of the cities, most tribes in Iraq held mourning sessions and mourning gatherings for the late Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Shirazi or Shaheed Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, mainly known as Mirzai Dovom or Mirzai Kuchak. Thank you much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding his life. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information and to download for free our previous episodes of the program, The Teacher, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.